Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski, Nick Keys are here with you on this Tuesday morning. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will be with us at 8 o'clock live from Omaha. We'll get his thoughts on the Vols as they prepare to try to advance to the College World Series final tomorrow. They'll take on the winner of Florida State and North Carolina. That game being played later today. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. PK, JC in Goodlettsville on the text line says, "You really resembled Nettles if you were only defense. Go Big Red Machine."
Greg Nettles has the sixth most home runs by a third baseman all time, 378. Greg Nettles has a 67.9 WAR. Greg Nettles was an excellent power-hitting third baseman. Way more well-rounded than you're giving him credit for.
Just like Paul Kuharski.
No, I was not well-rounded. I couldn't hit. And my friend Larry Himelski, who was a year behind me in school, who played behind me, couldn't understand why the coach stuck with me and resents it to this day.
Hold on to a grudge.
Yeah.
615-737-1025, our phone number.
I hit for five games at the beginning of junior year.
Okay.
And then I got mono.
Oh, wow.
And then even though I only felt bad for a couple days, they wouldn't let me return.
Yeah.
So I didn't play the rest of my junior
year,
which is the one year I felt like maybe I was going to hit.
Yeah.
Came back senior year.
Couldn't hit. So what about the Colts in this discussion? Obviously, they also missed the playoffs a year ago. Anthony Richardson missed the majority of the season. They were one game away from the playoffs with Gardner Minshew at quarterback. So that in its own right is I think speaks well of Shane Steichen and the job he did in year one. But what do you make of the Titans and the Colts and the gap this offseason that the Titans, I think, also in my opinion, with Indianapolis, have unquestionably closed?
Yeah. So the Colts, if you look at the two games last year, the first one, Zach Moss was, as you mentioned earlier, Le'Veon Bell. 23 carries for 165 yards, 7.2-yard average, two touchdowns, a 56-yard touchdown run among them. After the game, they said he was like Le'Veon Bell, which is ridiculous. You made him like Le'Veon Bell. Zach Moss is not like Le'Veon Bell.
One of the great comments from last year.
Zach Moss is a, you know, he was playing because their main guy was still hurt or out, right? Anthony Richardson and Minshew combined for something like 262 yards, 106.7 rating. They didn't throw a touchdown. They didn't throw a pick. Tannehill had a pretty solid game, 23 for 34, one sack, one pick. Didn't throw a touchdown. I say a pretty solid game. He got sacked once is what I meant. They protected him. DeAndre Hopkins, 8 catches for 140. But the Titans can't find the end zone. They give up 429 yards. They lose 23-16. Theme of that game is that they can't defend a run. They give up 165 yards to a middling running back in Zach Moss. Second game, you know the storyline. 31-28 loss. The special teams absolutely blow up. Give up back-to-back blocked punts. Get Ryan Stonehouse practically killed. Levis gets sacked 6 times. Pittman and Pierce both over 100 yards receiving. So, are these things fixed? Have they closed the gap? Well, Aukerman's gone. He was gone the next morning.
He was.
So Colt Anderson is the special teams coach. He has no experience. We're all counting on him being better than a Golden Boy guy who had average special teams at best and was somehow in the job until, I believe, Amy Adams Strunk called Mike Vrabel and told him Craig Aukerman could not continue as special teams coach.
Just keep the other special teams unit out of the hip pocket of the punter, please. That'd be great.
After that game. Pittman and Pierce both going over 100. You know, how often is that going to happen with Snead and Awuzie and McCreary? You would think they're going to tighten up there. This run defense theme we've hit on, I'm presuming they're going to be a better run defense team. If Tavondre Sweat is not what we think Tavondre Sweat's going to be, are they going to be a better run defense team?
It's hard to see it.
I mean, are there inside linebackers still guys who need to be clean in order to go make plays? I'm picturing that to be the case for Cedric Gray.
Yep.
I think Kenneth Murray needs to be free to make plays and is going to be a little bit wild, even in space if he's clean. Gibbons, we know what he is, and he was part of a lot of these games where the run yards were. So we don't know there. I don't think the Colts are great personnel-wise, and the Colts did not have a big offseason. Their two major additions were Joe Flacco and Raekwon Davis, yep, a defensive lineman. They re-signed a bunch of people. They got Leitu, the edge rusher, who many people thought might be the best edge rusher in the game. Adonai Mitchell, 52nd overall, fast wide receiver that gives them some downfield depth, and a couple offensive linemen later in the draft. And they lost Minshew, Zach Moss, and Isaiah.
Big loss for the Colts and Zach Moss.
Isaiah McKenzie. Big loss for the Colts against the Titans.
Yes.
So, you know, they may be deeper overall on offense in terms of depth. I like Shane Steichen, and he's a year ahead of Brian Callahan. I wasn't a big Richardson guy coming out, but he's certainly a dynamic player. I they've got a good interior line with DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart, but they're not strong on the edge. Kenny Moore and Julian Blackman, I like. They're good players, but the secondary isn't as good as the Titans overall. I think the Titans are better than the Colts,
yep,
personnel-wise. And I think the Titans at worst should be the third team in the division. You know, those division matchups are tough. It's hard not to split. You know, it's hard to sweep somebody, but I think the Titans should be in good position there. And to me, Titans Colts is really a Richardson Levis measure in a lot of ways.
Well, and speaking of that, this is obviously a huge year for Richardson, trying to stay healthy and get his foot into his feet planted in the NFL and see what he's got. We barely saw anything from him last year. Same thing for Levis. This is a big year for Levis. How do the Titans go about properly evaluating Will Levis this season? We're going to get into that coming up next with Paul Kuharsky. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I got some tickets to give away to see the Sounds take on Durham this Thursday at First Horizon Park. A four-pack of tickets for Call of Three, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, Call of Three will win a four-pack of tickets to see the Sounds take on Durham this Thursday at First Horizon Park. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com is with us talking all things Tennessee Titans. So, PK, we know, obviously, this is a huge season for Will Levis coming up. Today's NFL is really intriguing to me in terms of quarterbacks and how quickly teams are making decisions on quarterback. And there's one situation that kind of encapsulates it to me, and that is Kenny Pickett with Pittsburgh. Kenny Pickett was selected in the first round in 2022. He spent two seasons with Pittsburgh. And we're talking about Pittsburgh here, the franchise that has had three coaches in the last 60 years. Like, it's when you talk about patience, when you talk about kind of a methodical process and sticking to what they do, Pittsburgh is at the top of the list when it comes to any pro sport you want to talk about. They drafted him in 2022. He played the first season, 13 games, 12 games last year, and he's out. He's gone. He's gone. He's a backup in Philly right now. So 2 years. And they moved on from Kenny Pickett. It just feels like teams are making decisions on quarterbacks very quickly nowadays. So with that in the backdrop, how do the Titans go about properly evaluating Will Levis this year, avoiding overreacting maybe on either side of things, either too good, too bad? How do you view what the evaluation of Levis should look like for the Titans this season?
Well, let's hit the Pickett thing for a minute. I think he's very representative of there's a yes, there's a no, and there's a maybe. All right? And Pittsburgh, like you said, a very patient organization, got to a no on Pickett. A combination of wasn't playing well enough, wasn't showing enough promise, and didn't have the attitude. They did not like the way he handled things. The report was he was unwilling to dress as a backup late in the season last year, and then reacted really poorly to the Russell Wilson trade or the other quarterback acquisition, but did not like how they were filling out the quarterback roster, which is just bad form and dumb by him. So you can get yourself in bad graces quickly with attitude stuff on top of poor play.
Yep.
Right. If you're, you could take yourself from a maybe to a no with that extra stuff. If you're a maybe, and Will Levis is a strong maybe for the Titans right now, the best thing a team could do for you is what the Titans are doing, and which has some weird reaction around the country.
It really does.
Right? People around the country are like, why are the Titans doing all of this stuff when they're not that good? Well, first off, you're doing stuff to get good, regardless of who your quarterback is. Why is it bad to invest? Like, what would the reaction have been if they did nothing? Like, they're in a no-win situation in terms of this view around the country. They made moves to try to get good, and everybody's saying, why are they doing this? It's too early. They don't have the quarterback yet. If they did nothing, people would be like, oh, they're tanking to get a quarterback next year, and they're not going to be competitive. But will the decision be as fast? I don't think so, because it's year one with the new coaching staff. So I think, it's probably a two-year decision, but it's 2 years starting now.
Yep.
So it'd be a three-year decision for them. Is that a reasonable timetable? It's a lot different than it used to be, but I think it's a fair timetable now, and I think it's certainly a fair timetable for him based on what they've done to get him into an environment where he's got enough surrounding him. There have been times where in the Titans' history where I've said, like, it's too early to get a quarterback because they have so little surrounding him, where coaches and GMs have kind of indicated that, like, well, you bring a quarterback into this situation, he's going to get killed based on what we have up front, or he's got nobody to throw to or everything. They didn't feel like they had enough of a structure for him to come in and have a chance at success. I think we would all agree the Titans, while they have some holes still, couldn't fix everything in one off season. We knew that. So, you know, not ideal at right tackle, not ideal at safety, probably not ideal at tight end. But for the holes that they had, pretty good off season on paper. And Will Levis should be set up to show how good he can be. And we should have a pretty good sense at the end of this season, provided he stays healthy, as to whether, as to where he really fits in yes, no, maybe. And the range for maybe should be smaller.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the other interesting part about this is the coaching change, because Brian Callahan has been pretty glowing about Will Levis this offseason in terms of the comments that he's made, both at press conferences, podcasts, wherever you want to put it. We've talked about that. But, like, if things do go poorly and he's not as good as some people hope this year, like, does how patient is Callahan with this? That's going to be interesting, too, of, like, does Callahan say, stick with him, let's give him another year? Or does Callahan say, yeah, let me go get my guy in the draft? Like, how can a less than stellar season – stellar's not the right word. How can a below-average season, from what your expectations are from Will Levis heading into this year, affect the way that Callahan views that position? I think it's going to be interesting, too.
Yeah, well, I think there are a lot of other moving parts, too. How's the run game do? How does the defense and special teams help keep them in games? And what does not so great from Levis look like? Is he making huge mistakes that cost you games? Is he throwing interceptions that are returned for touchdowns? Is he making terrible decisions that put you in bad spots? Or is he throwing a third down interception 40 yards downfield that would be roughly the same as a punt on fourth down,
right,
on the next down. You know, I think a lot of us who are optimistic about Will Levis are picturing a lot of successful plays and a lot of explosive plays. Well, if they don't get that, I mean, I think people aren't going to like this, but the Vrabel kind of don't lose the game for us quarterbacking, can he at least do that, right? If we want the offense that we saw in Cincinnati with Burrow going and winning games, all right? And maybe he gives you that. Maybe he gives you that some weeks. On the weeks that he does, and I think he will be hot and cold a little
bit. I agree. Yep.
On the weeks that he's cold, does he kill you?
Right.
That, to me, is the biggest question. And maybe he kills you a couple times, but does he kill you enough that he's the difference in being a playoff contender or not? You know, I also don't feel like Callahan will be the type of guy that if that's what happens, if Levis loses you five games, that, or four games, that as they assess him, or when they get to the point that he's not the guy, Callahan's going to say, well, he wasn't my guy. You know, I deserve more time, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
When they move on, if or when they move on, I think that Callahan would say, hey, I thought he was good. We gave him a shake. Now we got to find the next guy and all of that. But I don't think at this stage he allows any of that to enter his head. No, nobody over there is thinking about a scenario where it doesn't work.
Well, he's clearly excited. Like, I don't think that's fake. I don't think that he's manufacturing or just like trying to hype up Levis. I think there's legitimate excitement from Callahan's standpoint of what he's seen from him to this point. Now, none of it really matters until you get on the field in actual games. But I do think that he has seen some things with him behind the scenes that get him excited about what he can be this year.
And it makes, just you talking like that makes me think back to Vrabel coming in with Marcus. Was he excited?
Yeah.
That is more like, all right, we'll see what we can do with this guy.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure, and probably not.
Yeah. 615-737-1025, our phone number. How should the Titans go about evaluating Will Levis this year? And there's one thing with PK on this front that I want to touch on coming up next as well. We'll do that. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Broadcasting from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We got a rant from PK coming up at 745. We got to come up with an actual name for PK's rant.
Primary complaint.
There it is. That's what we can do. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. By the way, PK, quick aside, really enjoyed your Elsewhere podcast that you came out with last week. A different side of PK. I like it.
I appreciate that. I really enjoy doing these. I haven't done it in a long time. It's kind of a essay on something in life. Only 20 minutes. So if you're out there and haven't listened to it, maybe you listen to it. And maybe you hate it. But a lot of people have gotten back to me that liked it. So check it out. I'd like to do them, but I think I can only do them when I have something kind of presenting itself to me. If I try to do it weekly, it becomes a force. So listen and send me feedback and see if you like it as much as Robbie did. I remember you before we knew each other particularly well. Reaching out to me about them when I did them in the past.
Yep.
So I knew you were a fan, and I was hoping that you listened to this one. So thank you.
Yep, absolutely. Check it out, Elsewhere by Paul Kuharsky. On the Levis front.
It's on the Paul Kuharsky podcast,
yep,
by the way.
There
it's
you
not,
go.
Not separate.
So on the Levis front, to me, the idea, there's a couple things here. One of them is pretty simple. The other one I think is more complicated. If he's good, maybe he's not great, but he's good, I think it's easy for the Titans to lean more into that and say, all right, well, let's just keep going with it. Keep going with Levis next year. Double down on adding pieces around him while you're not paying hardly anything for the quarterback position. and continue to try to elevate the roster to the point where in his third year, Brian Callahan's second year, you feel like that should be the point where you really, really know that he's your quarterback of the future. So I think if it plays out that way where he's good, maybe not great, but there are signs of life throughout the year that, all right, you might have something here. I think that's an easy decision for the Titans to make to continue to stick with it.
I think there's a very low percentage chance that they're quarterback shopping next year.
I would agree.
And if they're quarterback shopping next year, they're drafting fifth because they've completely bombed this year and lived up to the expectation of all these naysayers. It would be tough for a second year in a row to locally say to the national people, you're right. And I say that, national people, like a lot of national predictors are predicting a really bad record for the Titans. But again, I'd say, you know, Kevin Clark, Pete Prisco, I'm forgetting some names, but very good national people. I don't know that they're picking the Titans to finish great, but they love Will Levis.
Yep.
And they love...
Charles Robinson went on a rant a couple weeks ago about Will Levis.
They either love Levis or they love Callahan or both. So they feel like the Titans are on a good direction. So if you look broadly nationally, especially at smart national people who we like, they think the Titans are on a good track. Pete Prisco thinks that Will Levis was easily the best quarterback in last year's class. Loves his moxie, loves the release, loves the arm. So there are positive things to be found out there. I think it's very unlikely that he flat out falls on his face, you know, because I think it's very likely that he's going to mix in games like Atlanta and Miami. Now, I think he could be too much of an undulating wave where – you know, he has some very good games that get you excited and some very bad games like you're where, oh my God, where did that come from? And I think consistency, both game to game and over the course of a game, are going to be the issues that we're monitoring. Like in a game where you say, how could he make that throw in the first quarter that was so brilliant and then make this dumb boneheaded throw in the fourth quarter? And one thing, and then you say, how could he look like he looked last week and be doing that this week?
That's
where
I think,
who another guy like that was, and I'm not invoking them in the same sentence, but Steve McNair had that some weeks where you could tell in the first series, oh, he doesn't have it this week.
Yeah. Well, that's where I think it becomes a little bit complicated. Like, how much of that do you put up with, for lack of a better term, if you're the Titans? Like, one of the scenarios that I've thought about, and this could go a ton of different ways this year, but what happens like if everything around him plays out, maybe not best case scenario, but pretty well. Like the offensive line is a lot better. Ridley's really good. You know, the defense makes improvements and Sweat hits. Like there's a lot that if they hit for the Titans this year could work out pretty well. And you look at it at the end of the year, and his play was kind of holding you back from making the playoffs. Or he was the difference in getting to 9 wins, and you're at 7. Like, how do you view that if you're the Titans? How patient do you stay with it in a league which, as we discussed, is no longer very patient?
Yeah. Well, I still think, you know, in your scenario there where he's the difference between 7 wins and 9 wins, there are a lot of different ways that could unfold. You know, but I don't think there's any way it unfolds where you say, oh, we're out. You know,
he would have to be really bad, I think.
Yeah.
He'd have to be
bad.
And
if he's really bad, it's going to be more than 7-9 win differential, I think. I don't know that this team's good enough to bail him out of that. I don't know that a Pollard Spears offense where right, for this team to be pretty good, Ridley and Hopkins are going to have to be a big part of while they're good. And they can't be that good unless Levis is good.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's inherent that he's got to do at least a pretty decent baseline for them to be pretty good. I don't know that this could be a super defensive successful team. Is this team holding teams to 13 on a regular basis? I mean, is any team?
I think those days are largely gone. I mean, if you look at the numbers, Like, defense did make a little bit of a comeback last year. Like, even Kansas City, right? Like, Kansas City was not a good offensive team for the majority of the season. And then they figured it out toward the end and played well in the playoffs.
Yeah, scoring was down.
Scoring was down last year. So it's not like it's just been this straight-up trajectory of offense. But the rules are what they are, and the quarterback play is what it is. Right? I do think offense, like, if you can hold a team to 20, you should give yourself a chance to win in today's NFL. Like, that's what it is.
Hold them, hold them three touchdowns.
Yeah.
20, 21, 22, you should be right there. Now, last year, we knew the Titans weren't getting there with that. That wasn't good enough, which put a lot of pressure on the defense, frankly. This year, I would, going in, you have to feel good that they're going to be able to score that. And there's like a countdown clock about scoring 30. It's been a long time since they've scored 30. And, you know, again, I'm trying not to be too optimistic, but if they don't score 30 this year a couple times, based on what they've – the resources that they've given the offense and the coach that they've brought in and the philosophy that they have now, I think that would be a big disappointment.
Well, that's another part
now,
of this,
now, they could lose 32-30.
Yeah, but – this is also an entertainment business, and if they're going to lose, I'd rather watch them lose 35-31 than 17-13, like we have for the last 3 years.
16-13. Yeah. Or there's always a 16.
There is.
Somebody looked at it. I think Zach looked that up. I feel like they score 16 or are involved in games with 16 more than anybody. It turns out not to be true. But it's just because my proximity to all of these 16s makes me feel like they score or give up 16 more than any team in the history of mankind.
The other part of this that is also, when it comes to the evaluation of Levis, when your head coach is a play caller, particularly a first-time play caller, you know, we've seen this the last 2 years. I mean, Todd Downing got killed. Tim Kelly last year took a lot of heat as play caller. In professional sports, you could see it. The offensive play caller and the result of the play is ripe for criticism here. And Brian Callahan's doing this for the first time. So if Levis is really good, Brian Callahan's going to get a lot of credit this year. And if he's bad, there are going to be people that say, you know, well, what about the play call? What's that going to look like?
And I think that Callahan steps into a magical situation here, right? Because Downing was terrible. And Kelly... I think Kelly did some good things, but he was really handcuffed in terms of what he had to work with. And, you know, we talked about that 13-for-9 from Henry in that game against Houston, where they honestly felt like their best chance, despite the fact that Henry was averaging under a yard per carry, was to give it to him and think that he was going to break something. When that was absolutely hopeless and futile, they thought still their best chance was to keep giving it to him because he might pop something.
Yep.
I have a strong conviction that Brian Callahan is going to have something else. He's going to have something else to that something else, and he's going to have something else to that something else. We talked about Plan B. During the whole Vrabel era, even LaFleur, even Arthur Smith sometimes. Arthur Smith was pretty good at a Plan B.
Yeah.
But when the Titans' offense was bad, we said time and time again, where's the Plan B? Where's the alternative to what they're good at when it doesn't work? And time again, they could not get to a Plan B. We came in and reasonably said, they have no alternative. They have nothing to go to. That is not going to be the – I'm convinced that's not going to be the case. If something's not working, guess what? They're going to say, hey, let's go to the next thing. And when that's not working, they're going to say, let's go to the next thing. And they're going to – if that's not working, they're going to draw something up on the sideline and say, hey, this isn't in the playbook for this week, but let's pull out X that we had 3 weeks ago or the thing that we drew – that we were thinking of in the preseason for – down the road. Stuff like that is going to happen more.
That is music to Titans fans' ears. 615-737-1025, our phone number. PK's rant is coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Oh, there's no traffic, the light's green. Come on, go! Do you like sitting in the middle of the road? Do you like moving at 2 miles an hour all day long? Come to England! What's worse than being stuck behind a learner driver? Being stuck behind two of the selfish pricks!
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant, being hijacked by Kuharski this morning. You never know what Keezer's going to put together, kind of leading into this. Well done, on short notice. PK's rant of the day. PK, the floor is yours. I turn it over to you.
Look, traffic rants are too easy, but this one's specific, all right? I've converted to 30A, all right? We went to Santa Rosa last week. We go every other year with the same three families, now to the same house three times. And it's a lovely trip. I'm not a huge fan of the Gulf. I've converted to the Gulf. It's nice. Yeah. And there were some decent waves the last 2-3 days. I like beaches where I can fight waves. If I want to go to a pool, I can go to a pool. I don't want the natural water to be a pool. Okay. But we have some little kids involved. You know, it's fun. It's a great trip. Great relationships that are built every time. Play a lot of games, go to the beach late at night with chairs, sit around, listen to music, look at the stars. I saw satellites for the first time in my life, played Recovering the Satellites by Counting Crows, all to set the scene. But going, traffic bad. Coming back, traffic just absolutely horrendous. This is supposed to take 6 hours and 30 minutes. Coming back, it took 8 hours and 30 minutes. Traffic standstills at least 7 times coming back. It's not worth enduring that. You can get to Avon by the Sea, my beach in New Jersey, in 12 hours and 36 minutes, which isn't that much more. You can get to Atlantic Beach, North Carolina, which I know nothing about except that it's at the Atlantic,
yeah.
And I punched in fastest drive to an Atlantic beach from Nashville in 10 hours and 53 minutes. And it's not going to be a standstill because everybody's going to the exact same place. But also this thing with highway driving, like there was a big accident on the other side. Like you could tell it was bad because there were no cars coming. And somebody in our party that was in front of us texted us what it was. We talk about this time and time again. This obsession with slowing down to see what's going on the other side that costs you a half an hour of travel time. We have to train ourselves to get over this.
Yes.
And this thing where one person touching their brakes is like this butterfly in South America flapping its wings, affecting weather all over the globe. Don't touch your brakes. If take your foot off the gas first and assess if you need to touch your brakes. You have no concept of what touching your brakes on 65 North can do to the entire traffic flow.
Yes.
That turns a 6 hour and 30 minute drive into an 8 hour and 30 minute drive. I had a lovely vacation. But on Saturday, I regretted going to the beach because of this drive. It's insane. And I think all of Nashville thinks that this – I mean, I know all of Nashville thinks that 30A is the greatest place in the world.
Yeah.
You must drive somewhere else and experience another beach to stop the traffic madness and to broaden your horizon. There are other good beaches. I'm sure Atlantic Beach in North Carolina is very nice. You can get there in under 11 hours. It'll be great, and you'll help stop this traffic thing. I swear, there are other nice beaches that are not that far away. You can't all go to 30A.
The same.
At the same exact 10-mile
radius. Yeah.
Now, here's another thing I urge some of you to do, which I'm going to do next time. Go on Friday and stay at some cheap motel and then sleep in on Saturday and go to Shunk Gully or whatever for lunch and roll into your place. Go to the beach a little bit and get to your house at 4. And then leave on Friday. Leave late Friday night and get yourself home without this truck. We have to reach a social agreement here where we're going to space this thing out in some way. We cannot have 2 hours of traffic. We can't.
There's nothing to me driving that's more frustrating when you're backed up in traffic and you're thinking, okay, I bet there's something bad up here that's ahead. And you finally get there and you look and it's on the other side of the road.
Well,
when there's nothing on your side of the road, it makes me lose my mind.
Even more frustrating than that, when there's nothing.
Yeah.
You get up there and you're like, what was that? We had one where we're getting towards Montgomery where it opens to 3 lanes from 2 lanes. We slowed down to get to more
expand.
Lanes.
It's wild.
And we look at each other and we go, what was that? We just spent 20 minutes to expand into an extra lane. Were people so fascinated by it they had to hit their brakes?
Oh, it's just wild to me. But you're right. It feels like this general area, they're entire, like everybody goes on vacation in the same place. It's all 30A. A lot of 30A down there.
I know, but we got what we Panama need City. Is a lottery system for what time you leave.
Yes.
From there and to there. Like, everybody can't leave between 7 and 8 on Saturday morning to go or to come back.
615-737-1025, our phone number. PK's rant of the day. Josh from Lebanon says, preach, PK, preach, the man of the people. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Gentry Estes from the Tennessee, and he is live in Omaha, Tennessee, preparing for the winner of Florida State and North Carolina. That game today, Tennessee will play tomorrow. We'll get Gentry's thoughts on Tennessee, their chances to win the College World Series, and more coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.